Judy to help me collect your treasure.
Good morning. Welcome. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, a freedom we enjoy in this country. Through the grace of God, we owe a debt of gratitude to those veterans who served, that we may have this freedom. Let us honor them and those now serving as we worship the Lord. At this time, we'd like to have our veterans please stand, or anybody currently serving. We owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to these gentlemen and women who also have served and protected our freedoms. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Oh, our announcements. I'm sorry, I forgot those. Wanda has asked me to change our last hymn. The last hymn will be changed to number 720, verses 1 and 3, America the Beautiful. That's our last hymn. Ministers' officers' office hours are on the back of the bulletin. There is also no work day on Tuesday, November 11th, Veterans Day. And the Veterans Day Parade, by the way, is in Connellsville this year. So it'd be nice if you could attend that. Are there any other announcements? Any
else? Chris, you had some announcements. Good morning. I've got a few announcements. One of the things I want to point out is the office hours. About three times a year, I go up to the Carnegie Library in Oakland to plan sermons, and I do that especially before Advent, so I think I'm going to go do that tomorrow, so I will likely not be in the office tomorrow. You can reach me on my cell phone if you need to speak with me or send me a message. In 2 weeks from today, the youth group, senior youth group, is going to meet after church, and we're going to have a canned food scavenger hunt. We'll give some more information to that, but what I'm looking for is about 10 or 12 people who will be home that Sunday, the 23rd, between the hours of noon and 3, who would be willing to have the kids come and get a canned food or two item from you. I'll give you more information, but if you're willing to do that, please let me know after church, and I'll talk more about that in the days ahead. So that's 2 weeks from today. That's the 23rd. This Friday is the Coffee House. It's 7:30, and should be another great one. So if you are free, please come down and enjoy the music and the great food and coffee. And I'm going to make this announcement every week, just so we are all aware, that the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I'm going to go on a limb and say that's the 29th. Correct me if I'm wrong. That is the annual hanging of the greens, the decoration of the church. I wanted to let you know that, first off, many hands make light work. So the more people we have, the faster that would be. I also want to let you know that it is the perfect, and I mean perfect, way to start your Christmas season. To come and decorate God's house, because you know how beautiful it is at Christmas time. And if you look at that and you think, I helped put that together, it's going to look even more beautiful. And Santa Claus is going to bring you something extra special for Christmas, I guarantee you. Okay? So mark your calendars. I'm also going to go out on a limb and say it's 9 o'clock, 9:30. Mark your calendars. The more people, the better. It's a good time, a wonderful event. We really get our church decorated and get ready for Christmas. Hanging of the Greens on November 29th. And I believe that is all the announcements I have. Thank you.
The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 575. Come and find the quiet center, and please stand.
Thank you.
call to worship this morning is a responsive reading in your chimes, as is also the invocation. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. All the earth worships God.
And sing praises to the Lord.
Let us pray. Hear us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. As we give, we remember the words of Jesus as he observed people who were making their contributions at the temple. Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. Our offertory hymn is found on page 82. His eye is on the sparrow, in your chalice hymnal, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
acknowledge that we are apt to think of ourselves as the poor widow contributing a mite, but in truth we are those who contribute out of our abundance. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed, which comes forth from the field year by year. And before the Lord your God, in the place which he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstlings of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. May the Lord add his blessing upon our hearing of the word. Our anthem this morning is I Need Thee Every Hour by our sanctuary choir.
Morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this Sunday in November as we gather, beginning our stewardship emphasis today as well as celebrating our veterans as Veterans Day approaches. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to give thanks for, but only one person, one God to give thanks to. As we gather this morning, we lift up all the joys and concerns in our congregation. We begin, though, with the joys. What joys do we have to share this morning? What are we thankful for today? Roxanne. So being abnormal is being back to normal. That's great. We celebrate with you. We celebrate with you and also celebrate that your foot was not broken as badly as it could have been in your little incident. So we do rejoice. That is about the best that we can do, huh? Thank you for sharing that good news. Cheryl. Great blessings God has given us. We do rejoice that the Browns are back with us after traveling. Great to have you back and safe travels. And did you have a joy to share? Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that was a wonderful experience. What other joys do we have to share? We will get to concerns in a second, but what other joys do we have to share? Thanksgivings. Yes. It is indeed. It's beautiful, and we rejoice to have that. Yes, thank you for sharing that. The Connellsville Canteen in Connellsville. Are there others? We can lift up concerns as well. Now, if you have any more joys, please continue to share them. What concerns do we have? What petitions do we have to bring before God? Deb? Pray for his family and know that he is with God now. We do rejoice on that, but we mourn with his family on his passing. Other concerns? Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we pray for a cure. You send us healing. We pray for continued life. You give us new life. We pray that death will not come. You overcome death. We pray in anguish. You weep with us. We pray in fear. You teach us to laugh. We pray for ourselves. You give us each other. We pray for miracles. You fill us with love. We pray for the future. You shower today with blessedness. We thank you, Lord, that not only that you answer prayers, but that often you do not answer them in the way that we would have you answer them. And the reason we thank you is because we know that we do not know what you know. We do not see as you see. We do not understand as you understand. We know that your wisdom is greater, your knowledge is greater, your love is greater, your plan is better. And so there are times we do confess and we are disappointed in the answers to our prayers. Here are anguish, here are frustration, and here also our confession. But we also give thanks that the world is not run as we would run it, for we know that that would not be good. We give you thanks that life does not happen as we imagine it, but is greater than we imagine because of you. And we give you thanks. And as we come together on this day, we give you thanks for all that you have done, are doing, will do. We give you thanks for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, that came that we may know life and know it in abundance and to know it eternally, and to know that because of what he gave up, we have gained. And it is appropriate then that we also honor the sacrifice of others. As Veterans Day approaches, Lord, we honor our veterans. We give thanks for them, worthy men and women who have given their best when called upon to serve and protect their country. And we pray that you will bless them. Lord, bless them for their unselfish service and the continual struggle. Bless them abundantly for the hardships they face, for the sacrifices they have made, for their many different contributions to our country's victories, over tyranny and oppression. We respect them, Lord, and thank them. We honor them. We are proud of them. We pray that you will watch over these special people to bless them with peace and happiness. And Lord, we ask, we call upon you to bring forth a day in which men and women will not be called to sacrifice for their country, because the world will know peace. Countries will study war no longer. They will beat swords into plowshares, as the prophet Isaiah has called and prophesied. When the great day of the Lord will be here, that the lion and the lamb will lie down next to each other, and no child will be hurt upon your holy mountain. And we do not know, Lord, if these prophecies are descriptions of heaven to come or a new heaven on earth. But we pray, Lord, that your will be done. For we know that your will is a will of love and grace and mercy. And if your will is done in each human heart, war will be a thing of the past. Lord, as we pray for the peace of the world, we also pray for the peace of our minds and our souls. We do give you thanks for the good news that has been shared this morning, that Ryan is doing well, his surgery is successful, that we have been gifted with family and friends, with children and grandchildren, that we have been given this freedom to worship you as we see fit and to live in this land of opportunity, that we have seen opportunity and new things arise in the last few years, whether it's the Connellsville Cantina or other things that we have happened in our neighborhoods, in our towns, in our backyards. Good things are happening all around. Open our eyes to them. Open our eyes to them. The sun shines brightly within our lives because of you. And Lord, as we give you thanks for the peace that has been given to us, we pray peace for others, for those who are facing difficult decisions, for those who are unsure where their next meal will come from or what to do next in their life, for the family of the young man who has passed away. We ask peace, that they may know your peace, for we know that you promise it, and we promise it, and you give it to us eternally, but we also know that your peace is available in this life, in the here and now. And too often it comes to us as a glimpse. Too often it comes to us as just a taste. It doesn't last. But help us to hold on to it and to make it ours, so that each day we may be able to give thanks for the sacrifices of those who have gone before, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who calls us forward to life in abundance and blessings beyond our imagination, and calls us forward to make sacrifices of our own, that others may know your joy, know your grace, and the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. These things we pray as your children, as your family, as your body in this world. We pray this day and every day, until the great and wonderful day when we may say it to you face to face. Amen. Will the children come forward for the junior sermon? Good morning. How is everybody?
Good.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Do you know how many times I've said, "How are you?" and you said, honestly, that's when you're allowed to kind of be loud in church, so take advantage. Well, hey, you know what I have here?
You're getting sleepy.
It's the Kid Club. And the Kid Club, Simon, come here, Simon. Just putting this this on you. Let's clap for Simon. Congratulations. We're studying the 23rd Psalm in Kids Club, and we're about halfway through it. We're learning that the Lord is our shepherd. But today, I don't want to talk about sheep. Today, I want to... Oh, I forgot something. I want to talk about turkeys. Why do I want to talk about turkeys? Okay, hold on. Hold on, Ellen. Hold on. What is coming up? Is Thanksgiving coming up? Thanksgiving is coming up. And in honor of Thanksgiving... Okay, shh. Dial it back a second. No. Okay. Owen has drawn this picture of a turkey. Do you like it? Owen? Owen? Wait, Owen. Owen, what's the turkey's name? His name is Reggie. It's from a movie that Owen's... Hey, David, have a seat. Right there. You want it there? Or you want to sit back to Nathan? Or, I mean, Zane. Sorry. Okay. So, this is a turkey named Reggie that he drew for Thanksgiving. And... He drew it with his hand, right? But how else do you draw? You don't draw it with your foot. No. You draw everything with your hand, right? Everything you ever drawn. So do you draw with your hand?
I'm sure if you draw it with your foot, it would be a foot.
But how you use your hand? This hand
here. Yeah.
Drew it. That's pretty nice. Nice. Can you do that? Have you guys done that before? Have you done it before? Yeah. Now, in 1 second. Now, listen, it's pretty neat what you can do with your hands, right? Your hands are one of the best gifts that God can give, okay? Because with your hand, you can draw, right? What else? With your hand, you can what? Sorry? Throw a baseball. Okay. Write the ABCs. Yes, exactly. Old stuff. Itch your back. Scratch your back. Yeah, excellent. Excellent. I hadn't thought of that. You can do it. Just about anything with your hand. You can feed yourself. And, you know, with your hand, you have one?
Yes.
Hold something. That's perfect. With your hand, you can lift up or put down. One more. Do you have some?
Swim with your hand, too.
You can swim with your hands, yeah. Okay, now listen. With your hands, you can lift up or put down. With your hands, you can build up or tear down. With your hands... You can shake someone's hand, or you can punch them. Right?
No.
With your hand, you can. Now, should you? No. My point is, the hand is a great gift, but it does matter how you use it, isn't it? You can do great, great things with your hand. You can also do some bad things with your hand. What matters is how you use it. So we want to remember that. That's very important. Now, we should give thanks for all the gifts God has given us. Let's give thanks for our hands, okay? Let's give thanks for what we're able to do. Let's give thanks for how we're able to use the gifts that God has given us. And that is the next thing I was going to get to. Yes, you can pray with your hand. That's very good. Hold them together and pray. Yes. You can blow a kiss with your hand. That's excellent. Now, how do you decide what to do with your hand? How do you decide if you're going to use the gift of your hand for a good thing or a not so good thing? How do you decide? Just depends on how you wake up in the morning, how you feeling. Does someone help you? Yes. Does anybody help you how to use your hands? How about your parents? Do your parents help you? Do your parents tell you the good thing you did, that's the bad thing you did? Yeah. Okay. What if your parents aren't around? How are you going to decide then? You're on the playground, and you could shake a kid's hand or help them up, or you could use your hand to push somebody. How do you decide? You want to help them up? Your teacher can be, yes, but maybe your teacher's not around. Yes. Okay, I think we have a little thing called conscience, right, in our heads. It says, you know what, I see some kid, and he's falling out, I'm going to help him up. And our conscience says, you should do that. But sometimes there's a little voice in our head that says, I'm mad, and I'm going to push that person over there. Okay, the important thing is, we know what's right and wrong. And how do we know? We come to church, we read the Bible, but who do we talk to sometimes? Who do we pray to? Yes. Jesus. Does Jesus, well, ask yourselves, what would Jesus want us to do with our hands? Do you think that Jesus would want us to push somebody? Do you think Jesus would want us to help pick somebody up? Yeah. Yeah. We should always ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? We should ask ourselves, what do you think Jesus would do? What would he want us to do with our hands? Help people, right. Would he want us to take someone's lunch? Or he want us to share our lunch with someone who doesn't have as much? Are Jesus' hands in the world, okay? Where are Jesus' hands in this world? Do you see Jesus right now? Do you see Jesus' hands? I do. I see Jesus' hands there. Jesus' hands there. But it depends on how we use them, okay? If we use the hands to help people, we are being Jesus' hands. If we use the hands to do good things, we're Jesus' hands. If we use our hands to build things up, we're being Jesus' hands. One more. What? Okay, one more. Okay. If we use our hands to pray. Alright. Picking someone up. Okay. I want you all to think about how you use your hands this week and every week, okay? Are you going to use your hands to be grateful? Hand turkey? Or use your hands to make people. Owen wants to show you this one other thing. He uses his hand. That's the other thing too, right? Santa Claus is coming after the turkey. Santa Claus cares about how you use your hands too. Thank you very much for listening. You can go to your class now. Yes.
Let me stop.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the gospel. Comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. That's found on page 49 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. Then they sent to Jesus some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing the hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought him one. Then he said to them, Whose head is this? Whose title? They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me tell you a story. A story of a family who is looking for a church. They go to a church they've never been to before, and when it is done, they go out to their car, and they begin to take turns giving their evaluation of the service. And overall, it was a pretty good evaluation. The mother says, "I thought the preaching was pretty good, but it was a little bit too long. Still, I didn't go to sleep, and that's what matters the most." And the father replies, "Yes, that's true. I did enjoy the singing, and you can tell the choir put some effort into it, but I would have preferred a nice grand organ and not one of those small electric ones." Both of the children also put in their 2 cents. When the son said that the nursery was good, but he wished that they had had an Xbox like they do at home. And the daughter added that the building was nice and pretty, but why couldn't they have had more comfortable seats? All in all, the family was satisfied, and their feelings were finally summed up by their father, who said it best when he said, "All in all, that's not bad for a dollar." It's not bad for a dollar. I mean, for an hour, hour and a half of entertainment, something to do on a Sunday morning, and all it was cost was a dollar. The story is funny because on some level it's true. Not necessarily that the sermon was too long, and certainly not that the choir, certainly not that the organ was not good sounding, but that many people come to church and thank God for the blessings they have received, or to ask for new and better blessings. And when the offering plate goes by to give back, they give back the minimum possible. Now, of course, most people do not do this. They give $5, $10, $20, or they write a check for a larger amount and place it in the offering envelope so that only they, God, and the treasurer know how much they give. And this is fine, since no one else needs to know how much you give to your church. It is between you and God. But God does know, and you know, and only you can determine if what you give is right and proper in God's eyes. Think for a second how important the church is to you. And then think how important other things are, like entertainment, or snacks, or trinkets, how much you spend on those things. We do spend a great deal of money on insignificant things, things that we really want at that moment, but when they are gone, we don't even think about. There was a survey made by the Golden Rule Foundation that keeps track of charitable giving. In a single year, Americans will spend on cosmetics and personal care items $2.2 trillion. It's one of those things where you have to count the zeros to make sure you're saying the right number. It's that large, $2.2 trillion. On cigarettes and cigars, they will spend $2.7 trillion. On movies and other forms of entertainment, $5.5 trillion. On gambling, $10 trillion. And contributions to churches and church charities receive $900 billion. Now, obviously, that's a lot of money, but that is a great deal less than what is spent on less consequential items. Now, I'm not saying that we should refrain from luxuries. To do that would make me an absolute hypocrite. But I am saying that if we are Christians following in the way of the Lord, then God's work must come first, before cosmetics and cigarettes and expensive clothes and etc. You would consider idolatry of the highest order if, in place of the cross, on a Sunday morning you should find on the altar of the church a bottle of perfume or something more like that. You would rise up in denunciation, and yet I say that these are the things which have supplanted the cross on the private altars of many Christian hearts. As Christians, we are called to make a sacrifice on one level, but we don't necessarily have to give all or make it a competition to see who is giving more. It should be private and personal, and always needs to be that way. And we remember the story that Jesus Christ told, the story that was used for our offering today, of the widow who gave two mites, a very small sum. It would be estimated that that would come out to about $2 in today's money. Very small sum. And yet, at the same time, there were the wealthy who came, and this is where you get the phrase, tooted their own horn. They would blow horns whenever the money was put into the offering to announce what a great extravagance they were giving. And yet, Jesus said, I say to you that that woman has given more. Now, technically speaking, she did not give more. But because it was more of a sacrifice to her, it was, in God's eyes, a better gift. The point being is that we all must give something, and it should be somewhat of a sacrifice to give. But how much should we give? How much is the right amount to give? Is there a set number that if we did would get us into heaven? That, of course, is not the case. And thank God that is not the case. It's not something that we can buy our way into. But giving and tithing to the church, giving to the church is something that is called upon us to do to show us that we must think of others and also future generations. The Bible tells us that we should tithe. It's an old-fashioned way of saying to give 10% of our income to the church to continue God's work. So for every dollar that is earned, 10 cents are to be returned to the God who gave it. And that's important, too, to understand the ownership of where the money comes from. That it is God's, and it is to be returned to God. This was the custom that was followed by the Jewish people in Israel, or at least it was supposed to have been, and it was imposed as a fair way of ensuring that all people supported the synagogue and at the time the temple, and indeed the nation, since there was no separation of the two. By making it a percentage, it ensured that all could pay it, since the amount to give would rise or fall depending upon a person's wealth. But we know that it was probably not the case that everybody, or even a majority of people, did that. Therefore, there was no excuse, but we make excuses all the time, and I'm sure they did then, too. It's been a bad month. The car broke down. I have a vacation to go on, or my home needs some work. If we don't decide to take the money to give back to God off the top to start, then by the end of the month, we will undoubtedly find a million other uses for the money, and God will receive whatever is left over. Undoubtedly, many of us do not tithe, give 10%. Maybe we've never even really heard that word or thought about it that much. It's not something that we are used to doing. For some, it is a concept with which we are not familiar. For others, it is a demand that just seems daunting. We have too many other demands, and there are bills that if we don't pay, obviously bad things will happen. Whereas if we don't give 10% to the church, we will still be welcomed into the doors. At the same time, it should be pointed out that there are others in particular in this church or the church as a whole who not only tithe but give over and above the 10% that the Lord requires. And in many ways, they are the ones who keep the church going. For some of them, that is a large amount, but for some, it's a very small amount, but it is the sacrificial giving that means so much. They do not give out of their abundance, but out of their faith that doing so is worth it to them and to others. And without them, this church and a million others would have surely passed away many years ago. Now, if you're one such person, then all we have to say is thank you. God knows who you are. For everyone else, it may be a good idea to look at how much we give and think. If we cannot give 10%, maybe we could do 1% more than last year. Go from 2% to 3% as we gradually work towards the goal that God has set. Like everything else in our Christian walk, completely following God's commands do not come immediately. We can't just go from 0 to 60 or from 0 to 10%. It takes a little bit of work and a little bit of time and a little bit of effort, but we must start somewhere. Little by little, we correct our faults and overcome our weaknesses as we walk closer to Christ on his path. I say this today because today we begin our stewardship emphasis, as we do each year around this time of year. We do it in November for two reasons. One is so that we can get an idea of how much money we will have to work with, the church will have to work with, and crafting a budget for the following year. The budget committee will meet around Thanksgiving and put together a budget that will be voted on by the congregation in December. So we talk about it now, we make pledges in 2 weeks, we have an idea of what we have to work with. The second reason is that it is the time of Thanksgiving, and I think it is helpful for us to think of all the blessings we have received and realize how much we do have, so that when we give thanks, we also want to give back. Christian stewardship, it should be noted, is the practice of systemic and proportionate giving of time and abilities and material possessions based on the conviction that these are a trust from God, things that were given to us by God to be used in his service for the benefit of all people. It is this basic idea of absolute ownership that God has that forms the background of its message. When we accept this idea, the whole emphasis of our life changes. The emphasis is not placed on what we own, but on what God owes. What God owns. We come to a deep and abiding sense of God's ownership of all that we possess and realize that God has entrusted us with the use of what we call possessions without giving up the ownership. So how will we use what belongs to God? This church costs more than a dollar to maintain. In fact, the purpose of the stewardship campaign is not to guilt anyone into doing anything, for it must be cheerful giving that we receive. The goal is simply to make people aware of the church's needs and ask that we bless the church as it has blessed us to the best of our ability. In the coming week, you will receive a letter, as you usually do, simply explaining the church's budget and its monetary needs, as well as explaining where your money goes when you give it. We think that's important and necessary. Everybody needs to know what that money is used for and how it is spent. Because it isn't the minister's church, and while it is God's church, it is our church together. Only we can keep it going. It's important to remember that stewardship means also not only giving our money, but also our time and using also our talents. It is these three things that we must be good stewards of. And that's everything from regular attendance to an effort to let everybody you meet know how deeply you feel in debt to the church. It's being willing to come and sing and teach and wash dishes and serve on committees and then give the power of God's Spirit chance to change your life and make what you have never dreamed could be. The church has always put us first before anything else. It took us in as babies before it knew who we were. what we might be and what we might have. It has called us children of God and has received us into its arms. It is always open to us. It has walked beside us in good times and in bad. It prays for us when we go astray. It welcomes us back as a loving mother when we come to ourselves. It is with us in sickness, sorrow, and death. Every other organization we join first ascertains who we are, what we have, and what our social standing is. It asks if we will fit in, and if not, it will not let us in. It looks to see what we have to offer, and if that's not enough, will not let us rise to attain more. How different is the church, which says, I do not care who you are, what your background is, what you have, for you are a child of God, and as such, I welcome you without reservation. I offer you all the privileges and blessings, and I shall belong to you and you to me now and forever. There is no other organization like this in the world, none other than the church. As we all give thanks this week for the sacrifices of veterans who have given us freedom to worship as we choose in a land of plenty, we also give thanks for the sacrifices of those who have gone before. In this church over the generations, whose sacrifices made it that we may freely worship in this church, we must also consider how much we will sacrifice so that the church can continue to be a blessing not only to ourselves but to unborn generations to come. Let us each ask ourselves how much the church is worth to us. When we do, let us give thanks. Let us do so with a grateful heart that we all get back from the church much, much, much more than we give. Let us give thanks with a grateful heart this week and every week. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 528 in the Chalice Hymnal. Give thanks. Whenever I plan a service, there are oftentimes many themes that are going through my head that I either have to choose one or I have to put them together, and it's hard when there are multiple things coming. But I think that today worked out pretty well because the theme of the service and of my sermon is sacrifice, and that is appropriate For Veterans Day that is coming forward as we honor the sacrifice of those who have sacrificed on behalf of their country. It's also an appropriate theme for the stewardship emphasis as we consider what we will we give thanks for those who have sacrificed for the church, and we consider what we will sacrifice for the church to continue. And it's also appropriate when we come to this table because sacrifice is the ultimate theme here at this meal as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who on our behalf, though he could have easily come down from the cross, stayed there for us, that we may know the truth that he is the Son of God, that we may know his love and mercy that is beyond all, and that we may also see a model for how we are to live. Now, it is the case, thankfully, that the vast majority of Christians have not been asked to sacrifice all. There are, of course, the martyrs of the faith that have gone through time, and there will, unfortunately, probably be more in the future. However, the vast majority of Christians have not asked to sacrifice all. But we are all asked to sacrifice something, and as we mentioned, stewardship is not just about money, it's also about time and talents. We are asked to make an effort on behalf of God. We are asked to give time to God. Not everything, not all, as Christ did, but something. And so as we share in this meal this morning, it is appropriate that we give thanks with a grateful heart because God has given his Son, Jesus Christ, that we may know eternal life and that we may know grace and mercy and peace beyond all understanding. As we share in this meal and we give thanks, what's also important, essential, is that we ask ourselves, how will we give back? And yes, it may involve money, but that is not the only thing. How will we give back in the week ahead? How will we use the gifts God has given us to spread his word or to show his love or to help build his kingdom? As we are in communion this morning, first we give thanks, but let us also then ask for Christ's help either to do the things that we know we must do, which are sometimes difficult, or ask his help to help us understand and see what God is calling us to do on his behalf, in his name, for his church. Let us do these things knowing that our Lord is with us this day and every day until the day that we are with him eternally in heaven. This morning, we share this meal and we give thanks with a grateful heart and we leave this table prepared to give back in whatever way Christ leads us and directs us and calls us to do. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful, thankful hearts. We thank you for your loving kindness towards us. We are grateful for Jesus and all that he endured on our behalf. We are thankful beyond words that he took our place and took our place. So we might find redemption and salvation through him. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have with other believers. Thank you for the bond we have in you. We thank you, Lord, for the people that we have had in our lives that have loved us, supported us, and encouraged us. We pray for those who have heavy hearts today because they miss those they love. May they find your joy to be their strength today. Amen.
For a hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he broke it, he blessed it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Well, now, like any response to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 120, America the Beautiful. Let us stand as we sing. 720. I can't read my own writing. 720. Let us stand as we sing. Before we bow our heads to the benediction, I would just like to remind you of the coffee hour that awaits us in the fellowship hall. And I hope that you will linger a while to enjoy the food, the fellowship, and the friendship that is waiting for us in God's name. Let us now bow our heads for the benediction. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, and remember that the Lord is with you in all things, in all days. Amen.